Hey, I bet Jango Fett's depth charges sounded awesome, okay?
Wow.
Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome to the Dagobah Dispatch, where we always have Star Wars on our minds and have our minds on all things Star Wars. This week, how to watch Star Wars. And I'm not talking about one of those annoying clickbaity articles like how to watch the Super Bowl, when the answer is literally just turn on your TV. No, what we mean is, what is the right order in which to watch the live action Star Wars movies, as in all 11 of them? Our guest this week thinks he's cracked the code, but has he? EW's Christian Holub will present his case, and we shall then render a verdict of yay or nay, and you should feel free to judge as well, because silently judging people, or perhaps not so silently, is what we do here on the Dagobah Dispatch. I am Dalton Ross, joined as always by Devin Kogan. What's going on, Devin?
Hello, hello. Greetings and salutations.
You've been a busy little bee. You've been a busy little bee, Devin Kogan. I have a few things I want to get into with you before we get to bring Christian and talk some Star Wars. First off, I sit here at the end of every podcast. I'm like, hey, follow us on the social media. Like, well, I take my words very seriously. So I do follow Devin Kogan on the social media. And on the Instagram, she was posting lots of pictures from a junket you went to, which seemed right up your alley. Why don't you tell us about it?
100%. So this week, The Marvels is in theaters, the latest Marvel movie starring Brie Larson, Tiana Paris, and Iman Vellani. It looks super fun. I wrote a cover story about it for EW a couple months ago, back before the strike started. But this weekend, I had some interviews that I was doing with non-struck talent, you know, directors and things like that. And while I was there doing their interviews, there were some celebrities specifically.
Really? What kind of celebrities?
Of the feline variety. There's a lot of cats in this movie. So they had a whole room of professionally trained Hollywood cats that you could meet and greet. And I got to meet and speak with, and by speak with, I mean pet and say hello to, one of the cats who plays Goose, who is the main orange cat in the Marvels. So, and it was very, I was very starstruck. I mean, you know, doing this job, Dalton, I don't get starstruck very often, but you getting to meet a celebrity cat is pretty exciting.
I mean, I have like a million questions, but I'll try and keep it down to like two, three max. First off, are cats not covered by the SAG-AFTRA union contract? Have they gone rogue? Were they these scabs you were talking to? What was happening?
I don't think they are covered under the traditional contract, okay. Which is I think they should be. I think if you are a working animal, you should go on strike and fight for more tuna fish or more fancy feast or something.
Exactly.
But no, it was very cool to get to meet all these cats, and they were all so lovely and sweet. And I was talking with some of the trainers, and they were like, yeah, we specifically find cats, you know, from shelters and things like that who love this kind of thing. They love meeting people. They love like having tasks and training and being really busy. These are cats who aren't necessarily suited for like, you know, lazing around and laying on the couch all day. So it was really fun to get all to meet all of these cats, especially because my cats would have want nothing to do with this. They're like, you put me in a new situation with new people. Absolutely.
Yeah, forget
not.
It. So was it essentially like a cat cafe? Is that like what you went into? Like you went into this like cat cafe room where just took a few minutes off from the junket just to hang with some cats, pet some cats, mellow out,
yeah.
A little mental health break.
Got some social media content, mm-hmm. You know, said hello to some cats. I was like, you know what? If I'm going to have to work on a weekend, this is now the bar. The standard has been raised. I'm only going to do weekend interviews if they come with cats I can visit and say hello to.
Yeah, I've never been in a cat cafe just because my house is a cat cafe. We have three cats already. So it's like already like a maximum impact on that one. But like, so I saw you posted this picture. It looked like a posed photo with you and the cat. So did they have like someone specifically there to take your photo, like you said, for your social media?
Yeah, it was a whole photo op with the cat's name was Rizzo,
sure.
Who he's one of the multiple cats who plays Goose. And he's a total pro. Oh my God, he knows how to hit his mark.
Yeah.
He knows how to look right at the camera. Like I need training tips for how to get my cats to do that, because he is just like, you come in and you say hello to him and he just like headbutts you a little bit and is just like, hello, I'm Rizzo. Nice to meet you. It was amazing. But no, this was such a cool cat. And I was, it was just so fun and such a cool way. I have been to cat cafes before and they're very fun. There's a couple fun ones in New York that our former colleague Jessica Dershowitz and I went to. And it's just a good way to just like sit and chill and have a cup of tea and hang out with a bunch of cats.
Right in New York City.
Kind of my, like, sure, ideal Saturday.
Very reasonably priced. But you know what? The cats are not the star. Devin Kogan is the star because today, as we're recording this, Devin just put out a big EW cover story on Ironclaw. Devin, tell us just a little bit about your big story that everyone should go check out and read.
Yeah, it just came out today. It was really fun. It's an A24 production, so they have a SAG-AFTRA waiver.
They're not cats?
And
it's not cats
not,
in this
not
movie?
Cats. Although it would be better if it had cats in it. All movies would be better if they had cats in them. No, but it's a really cool project. It's Jeremy Allen White from The Bear, Zac Efron, and Harris Dickinson. They play, it's called The Iron Claw. They play the Von Erich brothers, who are sort of, you know, this family dynasty in the 70s and 80s in wrestling. And it was really fun. We got to, you know, actually hang out with them, do a big photo shoot. We went out to this horse ranch in Simi Valley and just hung out for a whole day. Our amazing photo director, Allison Wild, and our video director, Kristen Harding, who are both EW staff members, really knocked it out of the park. The photos and videos are gorgeous. And I want to give a special shout out to our own producer, Sammy Junio, for being our resident wrestling expert. They know so much about wrestling that I was asking them a bunch of questions and being like, because I don't know anything about wrestling other than this movie. So it was Sammy provided some very good puns and some very good headline suggestions.
So you're trying to make like wrestling analogies in your like story. And you're like, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Nope.
Did From the Top Rope make it into your story?
I think there's some top rope references in there. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, yeah, shout out to Sammy for being our resident expert.
I did pitch Top Rope Titans as the cover story headline.
There you go.
Didn't get used, though. Didn't get used.
Ooh. Didn't make it through the editing process.
No. Sammy gave us like 10 amazing options, yeah. But sadly, we could only pick one.
Well, so, you know, like we talk about this because, you know, Devin and I do have lives outside of this podcast. And we do have work. We have day jobs at Entertainment Weekly outside of this podcast. So just to give you a little window into our regular days here. So Devin's off. Went on the podcast writing a cover story on this big movie with super big stars. When I say big, I mean like big. How big is Zac Efron now? The guy is massive. Every time I see him, he's got like 15 more pounds of muscle. But so that's what Devin's doing. Meanwhile, myself, a few minutes before we started recording today, I put up a post with the headline, Big Brother star Felicia Cannon addresses farting on Cerie's bed. Okay, so that's... And the deck to that was, quote, we farted on each other's beds. Even though she got mad when I farted on hers, she farted on mine a couple of times. So
see, that's going to get so many clicks,
that's,
though.
That's my work for the day.
That pops up in my social media feed. Even though I don't watch Big Brother, I'm going to
hit
click
that.
On that.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's good stuff. Well, everyone, check out Devin's article and check out the great motion cover that we did as well from our creative team. It's awesome stuff. All right, let's do some quick Dagobah Dispatch house cleaning reminder. You can always leave us a voicemail at 657-799-1566. And about anything Star Wars related and anything we talk about on the show, if you want to react to, give us a call, 657-799-1566, and we will put you on the pod. We also have a poll on Spotify. If you listen to the podcast over there, you can weigh in. Did a little differently this time. Devin and Sammy were in cahoots this week, and they decided to take a different approach. Instead of doing like a poll where you can vote on something, apparently you can also like write in an answer. So they gave like an open-ended sort of poll, and they said, what is the scariest Star Wars moment to you? Because last week's episode, if you missed it, we talked about the scariest Star Wars scenes. Had some really interesting responses. I'll just read a few of them. Stacy said, I agree with Devin. The interrogation droid part scared me as a kid. Devin's doing
right. It's terrifying. Yeah. The needle, the like floating, you know, kind of dread in the atmosphere. Yeah, terrifying. Thank you, Stacy, for the solidarity.
Yeah, absolutely. The Meyer family said, the Anakin burning scene on Mustafar. As a kid, the interrogation droid scared me. So there you go. Another one here from CHO, hands down the burned bodies in Star Wars, A New Hope. There you go. That's what, Devin
another,
was talking
another
about.
Another validation.
Yeah.
For me.
The funny thing is that I missed it when seeing it in the theater as a child, but it freaked me out years later seeing it on VHS. Well, there you go. Scott said Vader's scene in Rogue One. You know, I feel about that. And then we have one that said, what is the scariest Star Wars moment to you? The answer was the addition of Victory Celebration, and that comes from one Dalton Ross. So there you go. There it is.
Justice for Victory Celebration.
There it is. So anyway, go check out our Spotify poll this week. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know whether it'll be open-ended or if you're just voting something, but you can weigh in there and we'll try and get your responses into the show. All right, speaking of bringing someone into the show, let's bring in our cohort and coworker, Christian Holubin. Now, you've heard him on the podcast. He's visited every once in a while to weigh in, and he has a topic which may or may not be controversial. First off, Christian, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm always glad to be back on Dagobah Dispatch. I just wanted to add about all that, the scariest moments. I wanted to address that the interrogation droid for me is something that I think when I was first watching Star Wars, like, played as like white noise to me. Like, it wasn't until I was like a teen or something watching it that I was like, oh my God. Like, or even I would say Han's torture scene. I don't know if this is different in Empire, where they're kind of lowering him into the bed of hot needles.
Hot.
I think when I first watched that, I was just a kid. It just, you know, like the weird parts of Disney movies, like they just kind of play as white noise to you. And then you watch them when you're older and you're like, oh my God. So that's what came to mind listening to that discussion.
I thought about that Han one too, Christian. Like when the sparks, when it starts sparking, that's just when you're like, no.
Especially after seeing how like kind of beaten and broken Han is by that, when you've seen him, you know, when he's like the cock of the walk so much in Star Wars, it really has an impact. But we all know how great, you know, Empire is.
It's the best.
Like we said last week, breaking news, Empire Strikes Back. Good movie.
But yeah, I wanted to come on this week to talk to you guys about something that's been on my mind. One thing that's actually really that's something I've been doing with my high school friends for years now, going all the way back to when we were in high school, was doing annual Star Wars marathons where we get together at a buddy's house and kind of watch them all. When we started this, it was high school. It was pre-2015, not to give my age away. So there were only 6 movies. And so it was fairly easy to figure out to fit them all in. You know, it took a day, but you could do it. And now that there's so much Star Wars content out there, and also that this looks like the first year in a few years that I'll be doing a version of the marathon in person with my friends again, because last year I didn't go home to Chicago where I'm from, and the 2 years before that we obviously had the pandemic to deal with, so we found kind of virtual ways to do it, you know, like screen watching or we all press play at the same time and we're kind of chatting over Discord and stuff. But on the precipice of my first in-person Star Wars marathon in a while, I wanted to ask you guys, as experts, kind of your thoughts on this. And I guess I wanted to start out by asking, have you guys ever done a Star Wars marathon? Have you ever tried to watch either one trilogy or as many as you could before?
So the only, I mean, when I started dating my wife, she had never seen Star Wars. And I was literally like, I can't date you if you haven't watched Star Wars. So I brought her over to my crappy East Village apartment where I literally just had a futon on the floor, like didn't even have a bed, and there was like cat litter all over like the futon, like, you know, just out of college cafe. I was that guy. You know, it's just whatever. And so over 3 nights, at this point, Christian, there were only 3 Star Wars movies out. Okay. And we weren't including the Ewok ones. So, so it was over 3 nights we watched the 3 movies.
That makes sense.
And that's really the closest I've ever come to a marathon, is watching the first 3 movies in 3 nights. That's it for me. What about you, Devin?
Yeah, I also haven't done like a full marathon. I did a mini prequel marathon a couple years ago with our friend Chancellor Agard. We were doing some kind of ranking for another project. And so, and it was like around Thanksgiving and all of our friends were out of town. And so we were just like, he was like, I'll cook if you want to come over and watch, do a prequel marathon with me. And I was like, absolutely. That sounds like a great deal. So I did that, which was really fun. But yeah, I have never done a full marathon. It's funny that you tell the story about, you know, showing it to your wife, Dalton. I do have a friend, my good friend, Sydney, who she's, you know, about 30 years old and she has refused to watch Star Wars up until this point in her life. And she always jokes that she's saving Star Wars for marriage, that she knows when she'll be like, so many guys have tried to show her Star Wars over the years. And she's like, no, I'm going to, I only get to watch Star Wars once for the first time. And I want to make sure it's it'll be forever. And so I just love that. I always think about that. She's saving Star Wars.
That's amazing. as well she should. So Christian, I like, we can go about this any way you want. Like, yeah. we can talk about, like, because there's a few things I'm really interested in. Obviously, there's the what's the best way to watch them thing. That's right. The most interesting thing that we'll get into. I'm also curious then, maybe after we do that, talking about how it is watching all these movies in succession, how that has maybe changed your perception of some of these movies. Do some of these movies play better or worse when you're watching them so closely with the others? But let's just get into the order, because, okay, there's the obvious way it seems to watch them, right? I'm not saying this is the best way. I may say that, but I won't show my hand yet. But the it would seem the obvious way to watch them, that most people, I'm guessing, would choose to watch them do a marathon, would be in order of release of the movies. In order, meaning not chronologically when the events happen, but when they actually came out, meaning Episode 4, A New Hope, would be the first movie that you would watch, because for a lot of people of a certain age, i.e. myself, that was the way you watched the movies. Yeah. If you were around for when they came out, you watched them as they came out. So I'm curious, as you've done this movie marathon, is that where you started and has it changed? Do you think that's the best way? And then Devin and I can tell you either how right or wrong you are.
Yeah, I'll give you a little history of mine and my friend's approach. You know, I think when we started, we just did, again, there were six, and we just did what also might seem like an obvious approach, which is just in the order that the movies tell you. So we definitely did it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 a couple times. And
let's stop right there, because that's already that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
So was there discussion? Was there like, now hold on a sec, should we watch these in the way they came out, or should we watch them in the episode order?
Yeah, and because we've been doing this for so long, like at least a decade, we've kind of tried a bunch of different ways. And there is discussion. And of course, it comes down to, as you guys know from doing this podcast, and I love all the input you get from listeners now, that Star Wars fandom is a varied thing, and people have their preferences. And because we are of the prequel generation, like those were the movies coming out when we were kids, I think we maybe have a little more sympathy for those movies, particularly my friend Tim, who has always kind of been the organizer of the marathons. And really the driving force kind of Star Wars fan, in our lives. He really likes the prequels. And so he was fine doing it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I wanted to shout out, a specific order that was created by this writer, Rod Hilton, on his blog in 2011, again, before the Disney era, called Machete Order, which we definitely tried a couple of times.
Familiar.
This is a variation on what you were saying, Dalton, in terms of release, but I've always thought it's really creative, and we have done it a couple times. The machete refers to cutting out episode one, which he did not care for. And you watch it, you watch the prequels, but what I think is so brilliant is this idea of watching the prequels as a flashback between episode 5 and episode 6. So you start with episode 4, obviously the original Star Wars. You go into Empire, as we were just saying, the best. And then going off the downer ending of Empire and, oh my God, what are we going to do? And now you know that Vader is Luke's father. You do this flashback to Vader's history. And then you end with Jedi, which, of course, has the most epic kind of finale ending to it. Revenge of the Sith ending is obviously also a bummer. So that's a weird note to end on. And I've always liked that. There's a lot of, and you were asking like how my perceptions of the films have changed. For the positive, there are some thematic resonances that come out of that and some lines that play in a different way. For instance, you know, you guys were talking about scariest Star Wars scene. If we're talking about saddest Star Wars scene or most emotional Star Wars scene, I'm partial to Yoda's death towards the beginning of Return of the Jedi. And as emotional as that scene ends, there's also an ominous tinge to it. One of the last things he tells Luke is, don't underestimate the power of the Emperor. And if you're watching in this order, you'll be watching that right after Revenge of the Sith, where Yoda lost to the Emperor and in their showdown. And so that line has like a little extra weight to it. On the other side, I am like I said, I grew up with the prequels. To me, making sense of the Star Wars prequels is like the mission of the internet and is like the core theme of like almost every podcast or internet commentary. And I don't know that we'll ever get to a understanding of why they make the choices they do. But I do like them. And I especially love Revenge of the Sith, which I think does the best job of doing what the prequels should be doing, this kind of dark story. It's when you get most into the Clone Wars and the intrigue and the betrayal. But I will say that watching Revenge of the Sith in between the original trilogy does not do it any favors. Like the CGI and stuff looks particularly bad if you're coming off all the great practical effects of Empire and going into similar stuff in Jedi. Revenge of the Sith really shines kind of almost or only in comparison with the other prequels. Yeah. Like if you've watched the other prequels, yeah, then you're like, wow, thank God some fun stuff is happening. But if it's kind of in between the amazing original trilogy, then the shine is off it a little bit. So it is funny, like every time I watch these, depending on what order we do it, can change my perception. But I did want to shout out Machete Order, because before the Disney era, I always thought that was a really fun way to do it. And we did do it that way, and it was fun.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, it's interesting, too, because it's almost two different discussions, right?
Yeah.
In terms of, like, are we talking about what's the best order for your first time watching the films?
Right.
Or repeat, like, for instance, because, like, you know, showing it to your kids. Like, this was like, that's a question to ask. And my daughter, who wasn't old enough to watch, and my son, too, for that matter, wasn't old enough to watch these till the first six movies were all out.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing, why I would... I couldn't even fathom for them showing it in prequels first, is that it ruins the Vader father.
Exactly.
Thing.
Exactly.
You can't ruin that. It's so something that in pop culture we just take for granted now. Everyone knows. But if you're 6 years old and maybe you don't know, it's still one of the most shocking reveals in pop culture history.
Maybe you remember this. There are YouTube reaction videos you can see of like little kids reacting to it the first time. And it's always so precious. Like they really are blown away. It makes you remember like, yeah, that's really one of the best twists of all time.
So if
it really is.
So if this was a first watch, the Machete Order takes care of that problem.
Yeah.
It's funny, Christian, though, because then the other problem I was going to say is for a first time watcher would be the technology problem.
Yeah.
If you start with the way you were suggesting and you start with the prequels and then you go to A New Hope, you're like, well, what's going on here?
This is
like, have they gone back in time 300 years in terms of technology? Like, this is just weird. And like, the pacing's different. And New Hope, which we all love, but is a slower movie, might be a little tough to take. I would still, you know, when the grandkids come around, hopefully not too soon, but I would still probably keep a traditional order, but the Machete Order takes care of the Vader problem, but it creates a different technology problem that you were saying. And I was just telling this on last week's when I talked about, you know, the Anakin burning, his flesh burning off of him as being one of the scariest scenes. The only thing is that I don't love the Mustafar lightsaber battle because the lava is so obviously fake. And this lava throughout the entire scene, they're having I just don't like it. There's nothing practical happening there at all.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to go from like the Mustafar battle to like Endor, which is so obviously like filmed in the Redwood Forest of Northern California and like looks so practical and great and real. And even all the stuff on Tatooine and all the Jabba's Palace.
Yeah,
it's one of my. That's the reason. Return of the Jedi was always my favorite as a kid. I just loved that entire first act, just with all the practical creatures and like everything. It's just, it's so great. So it would be kind of interesting to like go from one to one. Mm.
And then I would also say, you know, obviously this is all complicated by the Disney movies and all the Star Wars movies we have now. And we've kind of, and we were doing these marathons as the new movies were coming out. So, you know, the year that, 2015, 2016, we kind of just added Force Awakens onto the end. The year of Last Jedi, we had all seen it already by the time we did our marathon, but then we kind of ended the day with like a 10 p.m. screening of Last Jedi that we ran to. And, you know, I like the Disney movies. There are stuff I like about them. I really hate Rise of Skywalker, and it is particularly not like we, and even if you know, like I said, Star Wars fandom is varied. And if there are people out there who love Rise of Skywalker, may the Force be with them. And, you know, they can maybe base it more around the sequel trilogy. But we even tried ending on Rise of Skywalker, I think in one of our pandemic marathons, like even like, oh, we don't like it, but we're all together, like we're drinking or whatever, we'll enjoy it. And we did not. It was so kind of just deflating. So if you're when it comes to how much you want to bring from the Disney movies, I think Force Awakens is a fine kind of note to end on. It gives you that energy of
a new
hope.
I understand what you're saying. Are you saying then don't watch The Rise of Skywalker? Because you can't watch it before The Force Awakens. You can't like.
No. Yeah, I'm just figuring out again. Now I'm back to plotting the marathon, I guess, for people who have already seen it.
Right. So
if you're showing to a kid, you should.
But
if you,
but in the marathon, I think if you're going to do a true marathon, you have to watch all the movies. So maybe this gets into the next question. Maybe here's your solve, and you tell me if this is a terrible idea or not. But I was going to ask you, so you have to watch Rise of Skywalker. It's too weird to watch it before Force Awakens and Last Jedi. You can't do that. So I was going to ask you, what do you do about Rogue One and Solo? Where are you putting Rogue One and Solo? Is that your fix somehow? Not that maybe. For some people, Solo would be much better than Rise of Skywalker, but where do you put those movies in?
Yeah, we've played around with it a little bit. We have some, basically a thing we've done is, like I said, because obviously these now, if you want to watch every movie, it's going to take more than a day because there's too many of them. We kind of still try to keep this to a day long event that we do because obviously everybody's busy, especially around the holidays. So a thing that we've done a lot with Rogue One is we cut it down and we basically just watch the last 45 minutes of it, like starting with the Battle of Scarif, and that as kind of a lead in to New Hope. So if you're starting with kind of the Machete Order thing where New Hope is towards the beginning of your order, you kind of start with the Battle of Scarif, because it actually does work really well going right in. It's meant to, and it does. We've seen that. Going straight from the end of Rogue One into the beginning of New Hope is pretty fun.
These
are our constraints.
Dalton's mind.
I mean, these are our constraints.
Hold on. So, are you cutting out of other movies as well? Like, what are you cutting out of Solo? Or are you cutting like 98% of Rise of Skywalker? I'm totally confused as to what this
you have to do cuts.
Scenes.
I mean, listen, we've done stuff where we've done kind of a Machete Order thing, but we've watched like kind of a YouTube fan edit of like the best scenes from the three prequels movies kind of together. We've done that as a fix. And there are times where we've started with halfway through Rogue One, and then we go into New Hope and do kind of the prequels as the flashback within that.
So do you just ignore Solo? Be honest.
We have tried fitting Solo in the same way that we have people who like the prequels in our group. We have people who like Solo in our group. And so we've fit it in. It's not one that we consider a must hit every year. But depending on who we have in the group that year and how long it's been since we've watched it, it's another one. Obviously, it's the same kind of timeline as Rogue One, so it can fit in as your bridge from the prequels to New Hope, wherever that comes in the order. And in terms of...
So you're not watching Rise of Skywalker at all?
It's out.
The last marathon I was in, we ended with Rise of Skywalker, and it was not a pleasant experience. So I don't think we'll be doing that again. So again, mileage varies on the Disney movies in terms of how of the Disney era 7, 8, 9, how much you want to fit in. I personally love Last Jedi, so I'm fine just kind of ending with that and calling it a night.
You can't take out that whole casino planet situation in Last Jedi. Can't make that disappear.
You can fast forward through some scenes, you know, as long as you're getting the Rey and Kylo stuff and the throne room and that whole kind of sequence.
What if you just watched Rise of Skywalker first and then everything's a prequel?
And then everything's better after that. Yeah.
Everything's a prequel.
Start out in the morning with Rise of Skywalker. You're groggy. It can only climb up from here. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's all an origins.
Everybody's milling around drinking coffee, not really paying attention.
I kind of love that. Yeah.
So wait, if you're cutting 2/3 of Rogue One,
yeah,
and it sounds like maybe all of Solo and your next one all of Rise of Skywalker, why not just make it a weekend? I know you're busy people. I know you got a lot of things going on and this, but why not make this a Friday night after work through Sunday situation?
I love that idea.
I think if it's an annual thing, you know, you don't have to watch every single one every year. It's like, you know, sometimes I'm going through a Doctor Who rewatch. I've seen Doctor Who 9 billion times. I'm, you know, there's a couple episodes. I'm like, you know what? I've seen this. I'm going to skip it. So I think, you know, if it's an annual thing versus like being like, oh, I'm having like a Star Wars marathon. This is my, but for the first time in like 5 years, you're going to be a little bit more, you know, more obsessive about it. I don't know, Christian, is that kind of your guys's strategy where it's like, oh, we did this last year, let's
exactly
mix it
up this we year. Try a bunch of different stuff, and depending on what we've done the previous year, like, oh, we hit Solo last year, so we don't need to squeeze it in this year. I do like the idea of a weekend thing. I would love to try that out sometime. That certainly gives you time to put everything in. You know, you can start kind of using Machete Order as the baseline or whatever, you know, Friday night, New Hope and Empire, everybody's having a great time. Then during the day, you can kind of hit the prequels and the bridge movies like Rogue One and Solo. And people, because we've also done things where not everybody can make it the whole time. So people, we want to establish the order. So if people can only make it for a limited amount of time, they can come in for their movies, you know, or the ones they really want to see.
Everyone's scheduling their weekend around Solo. Sorry, can't make it during
and
Solo.
And then the sequels on Sunday.
Now, I'm now like all end up like, forget about this whole movie. I'm just into planning Christian's weekend. So can you guys take breaks to play like the video games, or might I recommend Star Wars Rebellion, the board game, although it'll take you the entire weekend to learn how to play it because that's how complicated it is.
We've definitely done stuff where, you know, we can be playing a game kind of while the movies are playing, you know, if you have the, you know, especially now, like I said, when we started, we were in high school and now we're adults who have our own apartments and houses. So there's a little more freedom in terms of the space you have. But yeah, we've done stuff like that, especially if it's like, oh, well, now it's time for Phantom Menace because our one friend loves that and insists on it, but I don't care about that as much, so I'll play something over here while we're doing something.
Let me ask you some Star Wars movie watching questions. First off, I think I'm guessing I know the answer to this, but maybe not, because maybe for you two it possibly could be Jedi, I could see. But what is the Star Wars movie, and when I say Jedi, I mean Return of the Jedi. What is the Star Wars movie you've seen the most? For me, it's Empire. Is it Empire for you all, or is it Return of the Jedi? Because I'm guessing it's one of those two.
I think it's probably...
No, it's original. It is a New Hope, really. It is a New Hope. That is the one. That is my most rewatchable. That's like my comfort movie. Like, I'm having a bad day, I'm just going to put on a New Hope. That was also like, for my dad, that was the movie he's seen more than any movie. Like, when I was a kid, I think he had like kept track and he was like, yeah, I've seen a New Hope like 57 times or whatever. He's since stopped keeping track. But for me, that was just like the, oh, I'm going to put on a Star Wars, I'm going to put on a New Hope. So that's the one I've watched and rewatched.
I love this because it means that we each have a different answer from the original trilogy, because for me, it is Return of the Jedi. That's the one I watched the most as a kid, because when you're a kid, like, it definitely, you know, my dad has always talked about how much he loves Empire, but when you're a kid, it's like, why would I like this movie? It's the one where the bad guys win and all the dark stuff happens. So I loved Return of the Jedi, not just because the good guys win, although we love that, but also, as Devin was mentioning earlier, just that opening 30-40 minutes on Tatooine in Jabba's palace, with Boba Fett and Jabba and everybody. I just couldn't get enough of that as a kid. And it's so good that like I can zone out for the next hour of Ewoks or whatever until it's time for the Luke Vader fight. So given that I put that one, if I was watching the Star Wars movies as a kid at my dad's house, that's probably the one I went for the most. This is blasphemous, and I just say it as a personal opinion. I would not go to New Hope as often because it has, of course, the least amount of lightsabers or lightsaber fights, which was the thing I cared about the most. And then since we always do the original trilogy in these marathons, that's non-negotiable. So like, I've definitely just kept Return of the Jedi's numbers up.
I will say it's interesting that talking about Return of the Jedi, it's interesting that like, you know, George Lucas was like, I'm going to put these Ewoks in for the kids. And the kids were like, nah, give me the weird, like gangster alien, palace. That's the scene that I want to rewatch over and over 100%. And over again. Just give me like weird puppets and, you know, bizarre, you know, creatures in the sand. Like that's what the kids really, really love.
Yeah. I was 12 when that came out and saw it right when it opened, and it was Jabba's Palace. I mean, it was all about Jabba's Palace. Now my name is not Lauren Morgan. She might give you a different answer, but like it was,
she's Team Ewok.
So, all right. So the movie we've all seen the most is from the original trilogy. No surprise there. So here's my next question.
For sure.
What is the prequel movie that you all have watched the most?
Probably Revenge of the Sith, just because that's the one that, like, I am a fan of that movie. And, like, when we're deciding our marathon orders and stuff, I'm usually like, well, we need to put Revenge of the Sith in there, even if we're not focusing on the prequels this year. Sometimes to its detriment, as I've said, because there are years where we did Revenge of the Sith as the only prequel movie, and it really looked bad compared to the others. And that's the one that I think I've pulled up independent. Like that's one I've pulled up and watched on Disney Plus a couple times. But Attack of the Clones is like the puzzle of my life. Like Devin and I did an anniversary kind of discussion about it on EW.com last year. And the fact that I've definitely watched that movie like at least a dozen times between marathons, between seeing it in theaters and all this stuff. And the fact that it still makes as little sense to me as it ever did kind of is just, I just have to give it some weird form of credit for that. And Phantom Menace definitely the least, or at least, you know, I saw it in theaters a couple times, but it's one that in my head is like, oh, that one is not as good, or it's all silly or doesn't really relate to the rest of the series. And then at our most recent marathon, we were changing it up and we started with the prequels and we started with a full viewing of Phantom Menace for the first time in a while. And I was like, there are things to like about this. For one thing, it's shot on film and it has a lot more practical effects than the other prequels do. And I just kind of, I was talking about the white noise effect that happens when you're a kid and you watch something that you can't understand yet. I guess I consciously employ a white noise effect now, so that I watch Phantom Menace and when Jar Jar is on screen, my brain just kind of like shuts off and I don't take it in so that I can enjoy, you know, the Maul lightsaber fight and stuff like that. But probably Revenge of the Sith.
What about you, Devin?
Yeah, I think Revenge of the Sith is probably the one I've seen the most. Although I've also seen Attack of the Clones a lot.
Yeah.
I was home like a year or two ago back in Missouri with my family, and my dad had just gotten a new TV. And I
love this story.
Like, opened the new TV and he put it like this, a big fancy TV. And I was like, ooh, what are you going to watch to break in your new TV? He's like, oh, I've kind of been working my way through the Star Wars marathon. He's like, Attack of the Clones is up next. And I was like, why are you going to watch Attack of the Clones on your nice fancy TV? Like, ooh, look how great that 2002 CGI looks on this TV.
Hey, I bet Jango Fett's depth charges sounded awesome, okay?
Wow. I will say it is the best that Attack of the Clones has ever looked on this nice TV. But I was like, really? I thought he was going to, I don't know, pull up a Matrix or like Mad Max Fury Road or something. But he was like, nah,
Attack of the Clones.
I was like, okay. So I've also seen Attack of the Clones a lot. But it's interesting that you talk about, you know, and that's the thing. When we talk about the prequels, there's so many good pieces to them. Like, individual scenes, individual moments, certain performances, scores. It's, I've always, my, before I die, I want to see the famed Topher Grace cut.
Yeah.
where supposedly that 70s show Topher Grace just in his free time has like assembled the perfect, he cut the prequel movies into a single film. And it actually makes sense.
Never been so, put online or anything. Like he just shows it to friends. It's like this
one of these days.
Thing.
I'm, that's my white whale.
We have an end to that too. I won't name names, but we have a former coworker that is good friends with Topher Grace. So we should be able to get invited.
And I asked him, and he was like, "I think maybe I have seen it." And I'm like, "How does this? How is this not burned into your brain?" So that is my white whale. I'm dying to know. But no, it's yeah. I think probably Revenge of the Sith is the one I come back to the most, just because I think it has the most bearing on sort of the future and the rest of the story. And also I think it's just the best made of the three. So I think it's the one that I come back to the most. What about you, Dalton?
I'll say a few things. First off is that Phantom Menace is probably the one just by strictly numbers I've seen the most. Cause I saw it so many times when it came out, even knowing it was bad. Like I was just so excited. I mean, like I've gotten this before probably with you, Devin. I think how like it was coming out right when I was getting married. And I was going to be away in Bali on my honeymoon. I was freaking out. We got into an advanced screening a few days before our wedding. It was like, oh my God. And like, I just kept going to see it. Like, you know, I saw it when it was like the hottest ticket in the history of Hollywood. And then I also saw it like a month later when I was the only one in the theater.
Yeah.
Then it came out on like VHS. So I got it on a bunch of VHS, then DVD. And I kept watching the DVD. So strictly by numbers, I've seen that the most. I would agree that Sith is the best of those movies, although I do think it's the movie that makes the least amount of sense, just judging by the timeline.
Yeah.
It's not like, wait, she's pregnant now? Wait, she's giving birth now? This was 8 months? I mean...
Yeah, she did we were having... I was talking to Sammy about this like 2 weeks ago, because, you know, like, I will never get over the one, died of a broken heart, and two, like, she's giving birth, and they're like, surprise, it's twins. It's like, has this woman never been to the OBGYN?
Speaking of the technology
like,
problem.
In her entire pregnancy.
It's just so weird.
Surprise.
I know. It's like, I guess it's like foreshadowing to Favreau being like, oh no, Grogu trained for 2 years with Luke.
Yeah,
it's like, wait,
exactly.
What? Like that's so the Revenge of the Sith is that this pregnancy moves so fast.
Some of Revenge of the Sith's energy is like getting to the end of a term paper or something and realizing that you've been writing like 10 pages, but you haven't gotten to any of the stuff you were actually supposed to. So let's shove it all in.
So here's the most interesting question, I think. And that is, as we talk about rewatches and Star Wars marathons and what do we have to watch every year when we do this and what can we kind of like not watch every year? What is the Star Wars film live action that you have seen the least? And what is it? And how many times have you watched it?
I think it might be Solo. I think I've only seen Solo twice.
That's me too. I've seen Solo
maybe
three, but at most three, and only confirmed twice. Once in the theater, and then I saw it once when I got, you know, the Blu-ray, DVD, whatever. And I think that might be it.
I think for me it's Solo for twice. Because even though Rise of Skywalker is my least favorite Star Wars movie, I think I've seen it like three or four times. Just because like people, I saw it at a press screening and then, you know, friends wanted to go see it. And then my dad wanted to go see it. And then like, I think that I've seen it a couple times.
It's this. Yeah. I'm a similar where I think I've only seen Solo twice. I saw it once in theaters and I saw it, I think only once as part of the marathons. So those are the two times I've seen it. And I have a very distinct memory of every single viewing I've had of Rise of Skywalker. I saw it at the press screening that I think Lauren Morgan was also in attendance at. The least enthusiastic.
Was that the rainy one? Was that the super rainy one down on like 20th Street or something?
Yeah, it was around there. And that was the least enthusiastic audience I've ever seen a movie with.
Well, you know why? So I took my son there and we were like standing out in the rain for like an hour and a half. Because like there was something wrong with it. And so literally out in the rain, so pissed. And then I'm still standing in line and then I see Jessica Shaw, former EW co-worker of ours and my former co-host on the radio, and she just pulls up like in an Uber, gets right out the front of the theater and just walks right in. Like, what is going on?
So I remember I have a strong memory of that screening, and then I did see it with my family over that holiday break
too,
and I'll always remember that because it was a much different energy than 2 years before where I had seen Last Jedi without them, but was so hype about it and was like, oh my God, can't wait till
I can see it with you guys. I saw it with them. I saw it with my friends. I saw it as part of the marathon.
We went to see Christian. That was back when I was still in New York. And Last Jedi, we like went to the press screening and we were so hyped on it that just like there was like we saw it twice more that weekend.
Like I'd seen it with my friends like Thursday night release, and then you, me, and Chance and a couple other people saw it again on like that Sunday. So we saw it twice. Release weekend.
And we sat in the way back, and I just remember like us like elbowing each other, being like, "Oh my god, the throne room scene
was
coming."
Oh my god, the whole movie to see in theaters because there were all these big moments, and so the first time you were experiencing it, stuff like Kylo killing Snoke or the Holdo maneuver that were so fun experiencing it for the first time, and then every other time I saw it, it was so fun to like sense the audience reactions to that. The Holdo maneuver in particular was this really awesome effect in the theater where because the sound cut out so abruptly, people's like breaths would catch, and so there would be this like sound from the audience like. So that was really fun. And then I saw Rise of Skywalker without my family again. And then based on timing, we couldn't see it till like after Christmas and with my sister and my dad, who I've seen them all with. And so it was this weird thing where like we were at family parties before we had seen it together. They hadn't seen it yet. And so people in my family like kept asking me like, "Oh, you've seen it, right? What do you think?" And I was trying not to give away that I didn't like it to my sister. And so I would just be like, "Oh, yeah, it's good." And like, but my sister's known me my whole life. So she would just be like, "You hated it." And so I distinctly remember seeing that with them. My dad liked it fine enough because he loves the Emperor is his favorite character. So he liked getting some Palpatine content. And then I distinctly remember the third time I saw it as part of a marathon and being like, "Wow, this doesn't even, there's no pop to this at all." But that's still one more time than I've seen Solo. So yeah, I think it's
Solo for all three of us. How about that? That's interesting. So
that might have to be our next podcast discussion.
Yeah, revisiting Solo.
So I was supposed to have at some point, I got to try and get him to come on. I saw him recently and I forgot to ask him about this, but Scott Gimple, the showrunner guy who runs all the Walking Dead shows, I remember being on set of The Walking Dead once, is right after Solo came out, and he was really defending the film. He was really into it. I'm like, "Oh my God." So when we started the podcast, I'm like, "You have to come on to talk about this."
Yeah.
In defense of Solo. So maybe we'll try and make that happen and give it the rewatch it so richly deserves. All right.
Yeah.
So here's my question for you two then, and we'll sort of wrap it up on a bow with this. If you had a family member, partner, friend, whomever it is, who's never seen the Star Wars movies, and asks you, "Look, I know there's a whole bunch of movies. I know they cover different times, come out. How should I watch them?" What would you say, Christian?
First time watcher. You know, there's this weird thing where there are things I like about the Disney movies 7, 8, 9. And to some degree, they are designed to be watched by a new person. But I still kind of like the idea of machete order, or at least starting with New Hope and Empire. And I think maybe it's still, you know, this is the way I watched it, watching 4, 5, and 6 first. But if you wanted to make a day of it and you wanted to do it as a marathon or a special event, whether it's Devin's friend who's saving Star Wars for marriage, or, you know, you're busy people and you just want to set aside a time to do this education, I think like 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6 could be pretty fun.
Let me ask you a follow up, then Devin, I want to get your answer. If in the machete cut with all the new films, would you put Rogue One and Solo in before 6?
Not for a first time viewer. I think that those movies, especially Rogue One, there's a lot of stuff we like about Rogue One, but I do think that they're very kind of ancillary and they're almost like bonus content for a Star Wars fan. And so I wouldn't put them as high of a priority for a first-time viewer, a first-time marathon. Show them the real stuff, the canonical films. And if they're into that and they're hungry for more, yeah, then I would go to Rogue One.
Last question for you, Christian. Then do you put Rogue One and Solo then after 6 or after Rise of Skywalker? I assume you're
probably
gonna put
makes
that-
more sense to do it before the sequel trilogy because they're not really connected to those at all. I think I would, if you're, as much as I love Last Jedi in particular and would want someone to see that, I think it would be confusing to show them the sequel trilogy and then go back to these connective tissue films. I would probably try to get Rogue One in at least before that.
All right, Devin, your full order of the 11 films. What do you do?
For a first-time viewer? All right, I think we go classic. We go 4, 5, 6. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, solo Rogue One. Because I think Rogue One works better when you have like a certain amount of knowledge of the Star Wars universe. It only like its impact comes from the fact, like the reason it is so beloved is because it was made at a time when all of us were already Star Wars fans. It's not a great introduction. So I agree with Christian. I think they're ancillary and I think they can be, you know, those are sort of, I get what you mean about like not wanting to go back in time, but the whole thing is going back in time. So there's no way to avoid that. So I think you start 4, 5, 6, you hit them with the charm bomb of, you know, Harrison and Carrie and Mark, yeah, and really get them hooked. You get them through 1, 2, 3 with the goods and the bads and the ups and downs. You get them really hyped on 7 and 8. You apologize and then you show them Rise of Skywalker. And then if they're so bored with Rise of Skywalker, then you hang up there. But if they're into it and still into the Star Wars universe, I think you do Solo, then Rogue One.
Yeah, Rise of Skywalker and Solo is a tough double feature there. But agree with Devin, and I would do the exact same thing, because then you're ending with Rogue One. And what a great full circle moment then, back to New Hope.
Yeah.
You literally end where you began.
It never ends. Yeah. And Rogue One is so great at reminding you what you love about Star Wars, I think.
Yeah. I think it's very classic Star Wars. It's a nice note to end on. I wish there was like a better, like the best movies come in the middle, you know, like Empire Strikes Back is like number 2 or 3 in your watch list or whatever. I wish there was like a better finale for something that like made sense as like an endpoint. Like let's say you're doing a Marvel marathon and you're watching the first 3 phases of Marvel. You end on Endgame, a perfect ending. There's not really a good perfect ending for Star Wars for a marathon.
That's why I kind of like that. I like that idea of ending with Rogue One, and that kind of makes it an Ouroboros, and it's like there is no ending, and you can just you've seen it all, and you can go back to whatever point in the timeline you like the most.
Yeah,
and then you hit play and do the whole thing all over again.
Exactly.
Well, and we're gonna have some new movies coming up in the next few years at some point, which might
see how that changes.
Shake all this up. Listen, everyone has their own philosophy for the way to watch the films, and very cool to kind of talk about it. And you guys can weigh in as well and let us know how you think. Christian, this was awesome, man. Really appreciate it. I want you to make a weekend of it. I don't think it's gonna be contained to a single day. Like I said, have some other activities. Some fun with it. You got TV shows now maybe to consider.
Exactly. Yeah, we didn't really talk about that, but that can extend the timeline too.
All right. Well, listen, not unlike our heroes in a Death Star trash compactor room, we need to get out of here. Our thanks to Christian Holub for joining us this week. You can follow him on whatever Twitter's called now, at CM Holub. Just a reminder, you can leave us your thoughts about anything concerning what we said here today by leaving us a voicemail message at 657-799-1566 to make it on to next week's show.
Also, we'd love to know if anybody has thoughts about these.
Yeah, let's argue with Christian. Tell him how wrong he is. Please, by all means. We love it. Also, please, if you could take the time to follow, rate, and review the podcast, that would be incredible. You can also connect with us on social media by following Entertainment Weekly on all socials. It's at EW on Twitter and at Entertainment Weekly everywhere else. You can also tag and follow us directly using at Dalton Ross and at Devin Kogan. Thanks so much, everyone. We'll do it all over again next week.
This episode of Dagobah Dispatch Podcast is hosted and produced by Dalton Ross and Devin Kogan. Produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Full episode transcripts are available at EW.com. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.